Welcome to the Power Press Podcast. My name is Mackenzie Bennett, and on this episode, we have Joe Pardo from podcast Mid-Atlantic and his podcast, what is it called? Super Dream?
No.
What is it? I've lost track.
It's been called a lot of things, like Dreamcast over the years. I'm like, well, it's not the Dreamcast, but
yeah.
The Dreamers Podcast.
The Dreamers Podcast. Okay, I can remember that. That's pretty simple. I think I just follow you on all social media that I put in the word super.
A super Joe Pardo. Yeah, that is where you would find.
Well, I'm very excited to have you on today. You were one of the first guests that I had when I started this about a year ago. And it's been that long already? I know. It was like sometime, I think, in September or October. And
yeah, and it's like September now.
it's basically September. So yeah. Thank you for being on again. Last time we talked about your podcast, and this time I'm sure we'll talk about your podcast a little bit, but you started podcast Mid-Atlantic, correct?
Yes, I did.
So we'll talk about that later on. We'll do some news bits. I'm not going to do a podcast chronicle this week because last episode was such a disaster that I feel like it got 2 weeks worth in. And then at the end, we'll do some more news. So let's just dive right into this first one because I think we both have a lot to say about it. It is the Auphonic Speech Recognition Beta for podcasting. And I think it came out last week. I have not used it yet, but there is a private beta going on. I don't know if anyone else can get involved yet, but they are doing what other companies have been doing and going to try to do it a little bit better.
It seems that way. I mean, it looks like they're using the Google Cloud Speech API.
Yeah.
So it'll be as good as that. And so my question, though, is how does it recognize multiple people?
I have no idea. The article that I read didn't say anything about that. And the article that I read is the blog post on Auphonic.com. And they didn't mention anything about more than one person. It says that, you connect this to your program that you already have, and it will pick up segments from your content that you send it, and it'll mix it with their classifier decisions, so like stuff that they already have, and then send you a SRT file, which I had to Google because I didn't know what that was. Subrip text file, which is essentially the translation. It's words surrounded with commas and everything.
Yeah, I've seen, I have some of those files on my computer. So that's, I mean, that is really helpful. I am really a big proponent of getting this voice recognition to work really, really, really well. Obviously, for so long, it did not, it's not worked very well. And in fact, even in YouTube, it's still, I was checking it out just the other day just to see like how well it works because I had a personal tie-in experience, if you will, with some people who were less than thrilled with the progress that companies like Google and Apple have made and other companies as well, Microsoft and everybody, have made with their voice to text features. And it was pretty bad. It wasn't a great experience, like watching YouTube with the auto subtitles.
I've tried to do it as well and have never really found something that was completely accurate, that didn't like just skip some places in general. So I agree.
Yeah. I mean, it'd be great if everybody had time to do this, right? To transcribe their own podcasts or video content, but not everybody sees it as a important thing to do and to add to their arsenal. I mean, there's plenty of reasons to do it. You know, have people dealing with hearing loss, people with dealing with hearing loss or are deaf. You know, they can't. They need it.
Right.
So,
they have no other option.
It's not just, yeah. So it's, there's more to it than just the idea of like, oh, well, Google can help you, you can help Google find you out there. And then, you know, the other thing is sometimes it's easier to read the content or to search through the content And even in my own personal experience, like just being able to hit Control F and find like what specifically what I'm looking for. Like, yes. Oh, I found your web page. Here's, you know, because of the title or because of this keyword, now I can just hit Control F and go through and find the specific word that I'm looking for to just read what I need instead of trying to listen to like an hour or 2 hour long podcast
for
or
30 seconds.
Free. Yeah. Yeah. It takes me like 30 seconds to find exactly what I'm looking for and move on. So there's plenty of reasons to do it. But one of the biggest prohibitors is cost. And that's where Alphonic is trying to come in with Google's API, which I'm assuming is probably the same thing that YouTube uses. I would imagine why duplicate the work,
yeah,
considering it's the same company, and try to make the best of what you got. Now here's my opinion is this, even with having that, you know, it doesn't say anything about does it recognize one person versus another? Does it bring him down? Does it, you know, because it's got to write it like a script pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
Who said what when they said it? And the other problem with that is even getting the text file could actually wind up taking you a heck of a lot longer to edit that file than it would be to just do it by hand. Or even, you know, obviously less time to just have someone, you know, pay someone to do it. But again, as podcasters, that's not always, you know, that's not always something that we're able to afford based around what we do, especially if we're doing it on a shoestring budget.
Yes. Or have the time.
Because yeah. Well, time.
The time it takes to transcribe something is insane. I had to deal with that a tiny bit during college, but I had, you know, some journalism friends during college, and I would be interviewed in there. You know, it would be an hour-long interview for them, and they're like, okay, well, I have to go spend 3 hours transcribing this. And I'm like, whoa. So I can't imagine doing that for a podcast, especially if you have more than one episode a week.
And with two people. So, like,
yeah,
actually having a conversation versus, like, okay, Mackenzie, I'm going to ask you a question.
Exactly.
And then it's your answer. And then I'm going to ask you another question, and then it's your answer. It's a problem, and that's why, I mean, while I do think that it would be nice if everybody had the time, or if transcribing didn't take as much time or cost as much money, I really think that we should put more pressure on these big, you know, behemoth companies to do more in the tech sector to right this wrong. I mean, it was only just a few years ago. Now, I did some research because I had somebody question me on this when I was at the United Nations speaking about podcasting like a month ago or a month and a half ago. And NPR just in the last, I think it was just the last couple of years, like 2011. It really was less than 10 years ago. They decided they were going to try their hand at subtitling their live broadcasts, like over the radio, like radio broadcast. Sorry. Well, I just assumed NPR, National Public Radio.
Yeah.
Yeah. It would be over the radio. So, and that was only in, I think it was in the last like 4 or 5 years. So they're not even like doing it to the level that, you know, most people would expect them to do. And another great point, which I think is a good point that, and it almost, I know, I it might almost sound and come off like, well, they're not doing it either, but the truth is they're not. Mm-hmm. When you look at CBS Play.it, they don't have any transcriptions on their website.
Like, I mean, the company is such a CBS isn't going to do it, then why is someone
CBS worth?
Like, how are you going to expect a podcaster that's doing a podcast from their house to do it?
I mean, technically, a lot of them are, you know, some of them use studio time and stuff like that, obviously. But you know, CBS is, I thought Google would like give me the answer right on the right-hand side from like the Wikipedia page.
Yep.
And it's failing me here. Let me try net worth. So this says, this is not helpful. So if we're up a Donald Trump campaign candidate's net worth, that's not helpful at all.
No.
So I don't know where CBS, how much is CBS worth today? This is saying $30.6 billion. Viacom 28.8. Now, I don't know. That was from 2015. So we're talking like tens of billions of dollars.
Yes.
Yeah. I didn't want to guess at like 100 billion and it'd be completely off base or something. So I wanted something. So
yeah.
So thanks, Google, for making me take forever to get this answer.
But you got the answer.
Yeah. So they're worth that. I promise you I'm not worth even the tiniest fraction of that value. So I really think that is, you know, we can pressure these companies to do a better job in leading the way, as they really should lead the way. I mean, we are, for a lack of a better term, especially with things like Play.it, in my opinion at least, are, you know, we're the pirate radio.
Yeah.
You know, CBS has commercials that play on the radio to go listen to their podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
It's only a matter of time. I mean, there was over the weekend somebody had, in one of the Facebook groups that said, "Hey, look, there's a podcast TV ad now for this one podcast that had a bunch of famous people."
That's,
I mean, they're
crazy,
not like
though.
They're not super famous people, but they're like, I recognized a couple of the names for the work that they put in. They're not like, they were all A-listers, I think, is what the point was, and now they're, you know, they're recognized, they're like legends kind of thing, but they're not like a Steven Tyler, where it's like instantly recognizable for his name and his face and his everything. So, yeah, I really want more to be done, but again, at the same time, like we don't live in a bubble. We are only human, and we can only do as much as we possibly can. And I really think the technology has to get better.
We're never going to be able to please everyone with each podcast. And that kind of goes against what podcasting is even meant for. It's meant for finding your audience and giving the information out the way you want it to. If you want to do it via conversation or interview or solo or what, and you include as much as you want, you decide how your podcast is put out there to people and no one else. And there are no regulations. If you want to make a podcast that is 1 minute, you can do that. If you want to make a podcast that is an hour, you can do that. There is no overarching company or group or organization telling you how to do this. And that's why people podcast.
Well, actually, I thought that too. apparently there, and I don't quite quote me on this because I'm kind of pulling this from somebody else that was informing me of things that I didn't understand at the time. But apparently I think it's an FCC regulation or something to that effect about that. They kind of, I guess it's kind of vague in terms of what medium is included. But apparently if you go under that FCC blanket of that transcriptions, subtitles, if you will, are supposed to be provided.
See, that's exactly what I'm talking about. Like, are we included in that? Are podcasts included in that FCC? Because we're not.
I'm Googling. It's
FCC podcast regulations.
See, I don't think it's specific to podcasting. I think it's
nothing even comes up. Like, the first thing that comes up is RSS podcasting broadcasting, but I don't know. This is someone, like, this is their consulting company. This isn't even a real document.
Well, it's real. It's real to somebody.
It's real to somebody, but not to all of us.
TV. See, this is TV, but cable operators, broadcasters, satellite distributors, and other multi-channel distributors to closed caption their TV. So it doesn't. This, at least, this document or this web page on the FCC's website does not specifically mention digital content like a YouTube or like a here you go. Wait. I think I found the one that.
Okay.
Captioning of internet video programming. Let me send you over this, this link.
Okay.
So you can see what I'm looking at here.
Let me see.
Because it actually looks like internet video clips, full-length internet video programming, archival internet video programming. All of this is specifically for video programming. But I'm wondering if maybe they have another page that's not for video programming, that's specifically for like audio content, like podcast, you know, for
right, podcasts. Because I'm not doing video.
Right. Right. You're not. And it's, yeah, I mean, it's, it looks like in.
I have no problem with it, you know, being, with that being a standard at some point, but.
Well, because
then it, the technology has to catch up. Some company has to give us the capability to do this, because no one, like, there are 300,000 podcasts out there. Not all of them are active. We obviously know that. But you think 300,000 people are going to, you know, go with FCC regulations? That's not going to happen.
And that's the thing. It's you're right. People, right?
Because
most of those podcasts do not have a team of people.
Right. Like, that's trying to tell people to not put licensed music in their podcast. And they're like, I'll wait until the day when someone gives me a takedown notice.
Well, yeah. The only problem is if it's in every episode of your show, you're pretty much taking down your whole show. You know, unless when you create it, you create two files. But even then, you're still going to probably be, you know, a couple hours worth of work to do that. Unless you name the files the same. Oh, you could name the files the same things under different folders. So when you make it, you make one version with the file with the music in it, and you make one without. At that point, you would only take you a little extra, like, you know, a couple minutes or whatever each time. But you wouldn't be trying to cut out music after the fact. That's a great idea.
It is. But what I'm saying is people
totally
don't care.
Illegal
people
idea,
don't care. Like, there is no podcasting god that's going to come down and smack you and take this down to all the people that are doing it. They're going to go after certain people, and that's about it.
Well, they do.
And people will take that chance.
Well, look at YouTube, right? So, like, YouTube will be like, oh, you have copyrighted content in your video. Here's a takedown notice.
Yep.
But then some of the most viral videos that go viral have copyrighted content in it. So, why are we not going after them? Oh, because they had 5 million views for a video that used Biggie, you know, and the Dinosaurs TV show. That's okay. But a DJ who's just trying to put, you know, basically artwork out. No, that's not okay.
Yeah.
That's not good enough.
So,
like, it's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. The blatant, like, we just look the other way on some things, but not other things.
Basically, what did they make money on and what did they not make money on?
Yes.
Who was losing money and who was making money?
Well, you know, money does make the world go around. So, you know, so there's a lot that can be done. I at some point I would like to offer transcriptions. You know, for so many reasons, I would love to offer transcriptions of my show. But at this point, it's just not something that I'm able to do for that cost.
Yeah. And I agree, but
not impossible, just not, you know,
not going to happen
likely at this point in that day and age right now.
Yeah.
Right here in the night. Now,
and,
it's not.
And you are the majority. You are the majority for that. Like, most people are not going to be able to do this. So by using Auphonic for this beta program, hopefully it will get better.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. It won't get better if nobody uses it, if nobody talks about it, if we just ignore it and dismiss it as, well, technology for this stuff sucks, so we'll just keep going on with that. Like, yeah, it does. And that's why if we lean on these companies to get better, because there is a lot of people that suffer from hearing loss and from deafness, as I found out. there is a lot of people, and it's a good chunk of people that deserve to be able to consume this content, and I agree. I just, it needs to be easier, and I think that these companies, and I think they should, because, you know, if you look at, like, you know, YouTube, right? So it's like they offer, like, just look at this captioning internet video programming.
Yeah,
right. So YouTube has their own, but it's not very good.
It doesn't work that well.
No, it doesn't. But you know, do you think most YouTubers are going to, especially ones that are putting out a video like every day to every other day, have the time, money? You know, sure, there's an upper crust, like a 1% that do have, excuse me, the money to do their own subtitles. But by and large, most people do not have the money to do it. And it would add, like you even said, just doing a 1 hour interview would take 3 hours to transcribe.
Well, they said in their blog post that they want feedback from people. They said they want feedback on the output files that they send you, how it can be integrated into your software that you're already using for podcasting, what services that already do transcribing work well for certain languages, because that brings in a whole other issue as well.
Well, yeah, that's why stop there. Like, why don't we translate everything?
Yeah.
For every language.
To think about all these different languages that these transcribe, you know, services are going to have to implement.
Well, I mean, Google Chrome can translate for you too, but it doesn't necessarily do a great job.
Do it very well. No.
I mean, it does. It depends on what you're looking for. If you're trying to read a whole long article, probably not that well.
No.
But if you were just trying to find, like, where's the download button on this page that I'm trying to go to, that will probably get you where you want to be.
That'll work.
It's tough, and it's definitely a tough subject for people dealing with it, and people, you know, and podcasters to deal with at the same time. So it's, you know, like I said, it's something I want to look into in the not too distant future, but again, it would be a very long road and process.
Yeah. They have some beta invitation codes on the bottom of this page. That the link to this page will be in the show notes. I don't know. It looks like there's like 20 different codes here. Good luck if any of these still work. I assume everyone has used this by now.
Probably. I mean, this article's already, you know, almost 8 days old.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
As the time of this recording.
Yeah, exactly. Not even the date that this episode went out. Yeah. So good luck. I mean, you could probably ask them for one, but yeah.
I bet you they would give you one if you asked.
They probably would. But
do you have to be a member of their service?
You have to be using their service already for this.
I know some people that do use it.
We have Auphonics, so like I was gonna try to check it out and look at it. I just haven't yet, so I probably
will. I'm sure you could get a beta code.
Yeah,
I'm sure there's somebody you could ask.
Yeah, it said they're happy to send invitation codes to long-term users and supporters. So there you go, people. If you want to try this out, go to their contact us link on the website.
And they do offer a great service. I mean, I never used it, but I know quite a few people who do use it on a regular basis and absolutely love what they do as far as cleaning up audio and stuff like that. So
yeah, we typically use it for the episodes just because this is a gigantic room with I can't even count how many electronics. There is some type of hum happening in this room at all the time. So, yeah. I use Auphonic for that. End case for this. Use it if you would like to help transcribe services get better. That's all I really have to say at this point. Okay, so let's talk about Podcast Mid-Atlantic. It is coming up soon.
It is. We're, what are we, like 16 days away at the time of this recording?
I think so. Are you excited?
I am looking at the website.
Yeah.
I am. I am very excited. A lot to do still leading up. In fact, I just placed the t-shirt order today.
Yeah.
So I'm super excited to be getting those. I wish I had them. Because actually tonight, tomorrow night, I'm going into Philly for a Podcast Movement meetup.
Oh, nice.
So hopefully, you know, it would have been nice to have the shirts for that. But yeah, I have last year's shirts, so it's all good. It's gonna be a lot of fun. We have an amazing roster of people that I'm so thankful that for them to take the time and the effort to come out here to Philly.
Mm-hmm.
It is in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Again, well, it's just outside of Philly. It's in the suburb of Philadelphia, here in South Jersey.
Yeah.
But you would, you know, fly in. It's Philadelphia International Airport. Mm-hmm. And you know, we pride ourselves on putting a focus on creativity and community building, which is a bit of a difference from the other conferences out there. I mean, some of them are more maybe you know, a little focused on money, a little focused on the actual creation of the, like the technical side of podcasting. Yeah. But we really pride ourselves on putting the focus and spotlight on community building and creativity. And one of the ways we do that is we have the Creative Podcast Competition, which last year had me crying. I was laughing so hard. I don't know if you did you get to see the video from last year?
No,
the
no,
not
I
working
didn't.
Video. I'll just send it over to you.
Okay.
It's really funny. They all ended up it was a team of four, and they had 40 minutes or 45 minutes to put together a podcast episode. It was 5 minutes long, and they got a bag with three items in it and had to incorporate the items into the show. So it was hilarious. Everybody did a really amazing job, and the winning team got an Audio-Technica ATR 2100 USB microphone.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah. So it was a really great payoff. In fact, one or two of them, they had different microphones. Like some of them already had that microphone, but some of them, like two of them, didn't, and they absolutely fell in love with it, yeah. Just like everybody else does.
Yeah.
So, that, and then this year we're also doing the podcast coaches dating game. So we took a bunch of dating game questions and we centered them around podcasting, and we have a couple podcast coaches. Including Dave Jackson, Tina Dietz, and Joel Bogus, who will be vying for the heart of a newbie podcaster to go on a podcast dating coaching session thing with them.
Yep.
At a later date. So it's gonna be a lot of fun. I trust that the people that are bachelor / bachelorette contestants are gonna have a lot of fun with these questions, and it is podcasting centric, so you will learn something from it, but it's going to be a good time. It's just a different way to hold a panel for sure. So we also include lunch. It's a Philly feast, so we got like cheesesteaks and soft pretzels and tasty cakes. Do you have tasty cakes out there? And you're in Cleveland or Akron?
Yeah, I'm from the Akron-ish area, but we're in Columbus. But yeah, we have taste. I mean, let me Google, because I'm pretty sure I know what Tasty Cakes is. Let me look.
They're like a better Hostess.
I think I know what you're talking about. Yes, we have these here. We do.
Oh, okay. It's not that far. I mean, I figured you probably did, but I wasn't sure.
Yeah.
And so many other, like, you know, hoagies and peppers and sausage and peppers sandwiches.
I'm so hungry.
I know we're recording this over lunch. I actually just ate lunch before we got on. So,
yeah. Well, you have a pretty good spread for lunch.
Yes, which is included in your ticket, which is so it's something I like to be able to do is you know feed people as part of the experience. It's part of being able to not have to worry about when you get there. Like, okay, well, what are we gonna do for lunch? Then you have to like get together with people and you have to leave and you have to, you know, I mean, there's places not too far from there, you know, within walking distance, kind of. You really would want to drive.
It's also the extra expense.
But, yeah, it is an extra expense.
Whenever, you know, it's not provided. So.
And then splitting a check never works out right.
No.
So it's, you know, it's one of those things where it's like we have this really big atrium and there's a bar in there and it's a really nice setup and you'll be able to go and, you know, get a seat and enjoy your lunch and not have to worry about it. So, yeah, that's just some of the things that we're doing this year that, you know, really kind of make it great. And like last year, which I think that this doesn't get enough attention, is we gave away free headshots from a professional photographer. My friend Jeanette Pellegrini came all the way down from Long Island, which is a 3-hour trip to get here, and then 3 hours to go home. You know, she came down last year and did these shots, and she took professional photos of all the speakers as well. And it really turned out really, really well. So this year, she's coming back out. She's doing free headshots. So if you don't have a headshot, you can get a headshot. If you're a speaker, you know, you can. Mm-hmm. You're gonna get awesome, awesome, awesome photos that you're gonna be able to use. Not just like, hey, let me grab my phone, and if the lighting isn't right, or you know, it's not zoomed in enough, or it's zoomed in too much. That's what she does. Is she's just a photographer full time.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's really awesome to have.
I actually am pretty bummed that I'm not going to be there for that, because it's funny you mention it. Angelo is attending a conference later this year, and they asked for a headshot. And he was looking for the one that we took earlier this year that we submitted for Podcast Movement. And I had deleted all the photos and he just couldn't find the email or whatever. So he was like, okay, let's take a new one. And he went to go stand up against the wall. And I was like, no, that's going to wash you out. Like, it's a beige wall. Don't do that. So then I made him stand up against the door, which is like kind of an ugly gray color. And I was like, none of this is like that great. And I was like, so I literally took a picture on his phone. And was like, there you go. I mean, this isn't ideal for you, but this is what we have.
You should look up, there's a video of a guy who he did a whole like how to make model, like professional shot headshots, mm-hmm. or even like beauty shots from an iPhone. He used an iPhone 6 and like literally just
that's
using like some foam core and like a flashlight, he made these amazing photos that, you know, obviously I need a little bit of Photoshop, you know, love.
Editing and everything, yeah.
Yeah, but the base is phenomenal. So sometimes it's not about just having this amazing camera and mm-hmm. this great lens and all that. It's really knowing how to utilize what you have, like the right lighting and all that. And that's something that, you know, having a professional headshot set up is going to be there for you. So it's really awesome.
I was on someone else's podcast about a month or so ago, and she asked me for my headshot, and I was like, you know what? What I would normally send is about 2 years old. So I tried to take some myself, and I was like, this ain't going to work. And I asked my roommate, can you just take some pictures of me, please? And she was like, why? And I was being an adult and get some headshots, apparently. So she basically stood in the corner of my room because that didn't have any pictures on it and just, you know, went from there. So people attending podcasts Mid-Atlantic, use this headshot to your advantage. Because it is easier, I'm sure it is much easier that way than to do this in your home.
I've been there though. I did my own headshots for something like 2.5, 2 years ago,
mm-hmm.
and it just, you know, the lighting wasn't right. Like I have lights now that I can use. They're not like super professional lights, but there are enough light that if you set them up properly and close enough, you can make some, you know, make it look good. But that, you know, that alone takes, you know, 20, 30 minutes just to set up the lights, mm-hmm. like just to get everything, you know, get them out of from upstairs and plug them all, set them up and plug them all in. And it's a lot of work. So I would urge anyone who's looking for headshots. I mean, headshots alone can run, you know, a couple $100,
exactly.
$300. So this is a perfect opportunity to just, you know, get in there and get some really great headshots for your podcast. Excuse me, or even speaking or whatever you're going to use it for, your website. You know, they won't be edited, but you'll have all the raw like JPEG, you know, JPEG files that you could take to somebody else to edit. But at least you have like a great base where it's like, this is something I can really utilize. You know, the other thing is the virtual ticket is really awesome. So if you can't make the conference, mm-hmm. we have a virtual ticket. So actually, you know, I wasn't under the impression that virtual ticket meant live streaming event, but I ran into some people that thought that was the case. I'm like, oh no, I understand you can't make the event.
Yeah,
that's okay. You can watch it every single session mm-hmm. In HD, and it'll be available about a month after the conference happens. So it's only $64.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, if you're listening to this, if you go and you click on that register now button on the page where the virtual says virtual ticket, and you put in the code MAPCON25, you'll
Perfect.
Save 25% off of that. It's only available for 15 tickets. So if you wait too long, you're not going to get that extra $16 off. I forget what it comes out to be, but yeah. So that's just one of the, like another thing that you can do, and you get that included if you come out to MapCon. Mm-hmm. So it's gonna, you know, you definitely want to come. And then we have an after party and a Friday night mixer, which I was going through because I was putting the T-shirt order together today, mm-hmm. and I was going through all of the people to see who was gonna make it and who wasn't, and like most of the people, like 80%, 90% of the people will be there for the Friday night mixer.
Oh, that's awesome.
Which is going to be awesome. So it's in the atrium at the hotel. So, you know, if you're staying at the hotel, if you're not staying at the hotel, You just head over to the atrium and you can hang out there. There's a bar and there will be a band, but it'll be before we start the mixer. And you can get registered, get your badge and your t-shirt. And yeah, it's gonna be a really great time.
Good.
Take my word for it. It'll be great.
Yeah. Take the guy who started it. He thinks it'll be great. I'm bummed that I'm not going to be able to attend this year, and hopefully, you know, we can get out there next year. But it seems like it's a great mix of stuff because there are sessions, there are people speaking, there's the dating game that you created, there's, you know, lunch, which is perfect for networking, and then the mixer, which is just kind of to help you relax and networking. So it's a great mix of stuff. Seems like you got a very good thing going on here.
Thank you. Yeah, we just recently posted the schedule too, so you can go check out all that at podcastmidatlantic.com/schedule or midatlanticpodcast.com, however you want to say it. Yeah. .com/schedule, and you can actually check out every single session there and why, you know, what every person's going to be talking about and the time they'll be talking about it. So, which is great because, you know, I think that maybe a lot of people may be a little hesitant before on getting a virtual ticket because they didn't know what sessions they were going to get. But if you look at the schedule, it's jam packed with awesome stuff, you know, top to bottom with some really amazing people. And we had people like last year, we had people come from Florida all the way up to Connecticut.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And Ohio and Georgia. We had one person drive from Georgia, which if you don't know, is like 1,000 miles.
I was going to say, that's pretty far.
It is. It's very far. So they drove, and then another person from Georgia flew. We had people from Virginia and D.C. and all that. But this year, we had people from the U.K.
Oh, wow.
So United Kingdom coming. We have three people from I think they're all from L.A. Or one from San Diego, two from L.A., and then one from Seattle.
So you're plus getting all over the place.
South Dakota.
Jeez. Didn't know South Dakota cared about podcasts, to be completely honest.
Well, I don't know much about South Dakota either.
They just typically seem pretty down there on stats.
So, South Dakota, Texas, a couple people coming from Texas. So we're kind of, you know, we haven't got all 50 states, but we're working on it, you know, for next year. We're looking to build that up more.
What year is this for this event?
This is our second.
Oh, okay. Oh, well,
yeah,
then
it's our second year.
Yeah, that's hard to hit all 50 states your second year in.
Yeah, I would agree with that. But hey, we already got South Dakota in. I think South Dakota is the last state you'll ever visit.
Like the most common for people?
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Yeah, so like one of the Dakotas actually have, like, if you go to their visitor center, they actually have a t-shirt that says something to that effect. Like, this is the last state I visited.
Yeah.
Because they know that it's like one of the last states you'll visit.
Yeah.
Which one's Fargo at? That's the one, because they actually have the wood chipper in the facility.
And that's Minnesota. No, North Dakota.
No, it's North Dakota. Okay, so I think it is North Dakota's the last state you'll ever. Yeah, I think it's like the last state you'll ever visit.
I guess that's true. That is one of my favorite movies, but it probably is still not very high on my list.
I've never actually seen Fargo, so I can't even say that much.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, so we would love to have somebody represent from North Dakota for sure. We don't want North Dakota to be the last state to come to
No.
It's this great time. If you watch the video on the front page, like, you'll get a feel for what it was like last year. It's a very grassroots event. Last year we were in a school gymnasium. This year we're in a hotel. So we're making
You're
progress.
Already moving up.
Yeah, we're moving up in the world. And that's what, you know, the plan is each year, to get a little bit bigger, grow it organically through the community and through the great people that trust that we're going to put on a great event here.
Yeah.
And by we, I mean me, because I'm the one man band. I got the drums and the guitar and the kazoo and the harmonica and I just got everything.
It's a whole lot.
Yeah.
But so it is September 9th and 10th.
Yes.
For those that did not know.
This year.
And you can still register.
Yep.
And I think it's a great event. So if you're in the area, if you're not in the area, you should go.
You should. And hopefully we can get you out here next year, Mackenzie. It's I think September 10th, 9th, 8th and 9th next year.
All right. So I'm going to try.
Get it on your calendar.
Stupid weddings. Always getting in the way. No, that's just what people my age do nowadays.
Yeah, they do. They do. I think last year went to like 3 weddings last year or 4 weddings last year.
This will be my second of the year for people that I went to school with. So.
Oh, wow.
It is that time. You've got some great speakers on here as well. How many, do you know how many you have in general? Like overall?
Speakers?
Yeah.
So speakers would be, 16, 17, 18. I had to count myself, 18 speakers.
Okay. That's good. That's a good amount.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's 18 speakers. So we have, the way we run our conference is a little bit different than what most do. We have spotlight speakers where they speak for 8 minutes on a topic. Mm-hmm. And then we have our featured speakers who speak for 40 minutes on a topic. And then we have our panelists who were featured speakers from last year. So
oh, cool.
it's veteran Hall of Fame type system.
Oh, that's cool. You don't
so
see that a lot.
So you start out as a spotlight speaker. No, you start out as a spotlight speaker, and then next year you can come back as a featured speaker.
Gotcha.
So it's, you know, we really want to get as many people as we can involved, and have them show dedication to the event as well, and then next year come back as a featured speaker and really, you know, crush it. So it's that's the way I like to do it, because I want to give people an opportunity. The only thing that we run into is sometimes is people that didn't know in time,
mm-hmm.
like about either about the conference or. But I feel like as we go through and as we get older and more mature, we will have more people know about it ahead of time.
Right, that word of mouth for it. That yeah, you know you yeah. should get involved type of thing.
Yeah, so we didn't have a problem with getting all the spotlight speakers this year at all, but. There was a lot of people after the fact that were like, hey, can I get in on that speaking thing? And I was like, we already figured this out month or 2 or 3 or 4 months ago. And there's only so much to go around. So one of the other things that makes us different is we only have one track at our conference. So there's only one room. There isn't like we don't have 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 rooms at our conference where, you know, a lot do. And there's nothing wrong with that. I think that that's a great opportunity for people to get to go to speak and get to see a good mix of things. But at the same time, like I like the idea, especially since we're a smaller conference,
yeah.
Looking at, you know, upwards of 150 people this year, it's like that. I like that movie theater effect where people laugh because mm-hmm. they're all together mm-hmm. and that togetherness really brings us together. Plus as a speaker, or a DJ, in my opinion, like in my professional opinion,
yeah.
if you have, you know, 5 people in a room, it can be really hard to give and get that energy back.
Right.
Especially if you know in the back of your mind, like the room next to me is totally packed and we can actually hear them laughing and yelling and, you know, getting loud in the other room next to my room that has just a few people in it. So I, you know, at least for now, we're sticking with the one. Plus it's more manageable for me considering I'm everything.
Yes, you know? You're not running from room to room to room the entire day.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and as we get bigger, maybe that changes. I don't know. But I really like the idea of keeping that smaller feel. And I like being able to have enough equipment.
Yeah.
Have enough, you know.
And reliable equipment.
Yeah, reliable equipment.
As the day goes on, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, things can go wrong and have gone wrong. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's one of those things where I think that's really important because like you won't miss anything either. Sure, you had the virtual ticket you can mm-hmm. watch later, but you're not going to necessarily miss anything just by going to one room or the other.
You know, I think everyone comes in with, you know, their PowerPoint or their presentation or just something in their head, but all being in the same room, the speakers probably end up building upon that as well because they know what has been said earlier. They can go off of what people already know.
They can make jokes about it.
Yeah, you are learning together that way the entire time.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, you could start a running joke.
Yeah, exactly.
And but by the end of the day, everybody gets the joke, you know, because it's been running all day long because speakers yeah. pick up on it and they say it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just a very...
it's very community, like you're trying to, you know, embrace.
That's it. It's community. So yeah. So if you're down with that, you should come on out. It's $150 for a ticket. Mm-hmm. But if you go to midatlanticpodcast.com/discount, it's $10 off. So it's $140.
Cool. All right. Well, everyone wants to save $10. So be sure to use that code.
Hey,
$10 is $10.
It's 10% off. 10% off.
Yeah. That's lunch for you though.
Something like that. Yeah. Oh no, I think it's actually, no, it's like 6.5. Math is not my friend.
It still saves you money. That's yes. The important part.
Oh yes, 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 definitely.
That is always the important part. Okay. Wish I could be there. Anyone that is going, I hope you have fun and tell me all about it. Tell me all about it. Anything else we want to get in for Podcast Mid-Atlantic?
No. Okay. I think we pretty much have beat this horse dead.
And anyone that wants to go, obviously check out podcastmidatlantic.com or just check out the link on the show notes for this episode. So
thank you, Mackenzie.
Yeah, you will. Everyone will definitely be able to find information about this. So, all right. And for our last news bit of the PowerPress podcast episode, this is, well, now I'm realizing I don't know how to pronounce this company. Is it Tascam?
I always called it Tascam.
Tascam?
Tascam.
Like, I realized I know this name, obviously. I just don't know how to pronounce it.
I have one of their recorders in my drawer behind me. So it's Tascam.
Okay. We're going to go with Tascam.
Yeah, Tascam's good.
They are debuting some soundboards specifically made for podcasters because they realized that to make a podcast, a lot of people do not have the budget to make a small radio studio in their home or in their closet, as that has become quite popular. So they came up with two different soundboards for this with different options, it seems. And they are both Windows and Mac compatible. You can connect them to your computer via USB. You can use the camera with them. For iOS devices, you can record in 24-bit, 96KHZ, and, you know, work with whatever software you have. So they, I don't know, we'll see how these go. What do you think?
I think the price point's great. I think that it's the, you know, you as a podcaster starting out with a USB microphone, whether it's the Audio-Technica ATR2100 or the Blue Snowball or one of the other ones out there. I think that that's a great way to get in, you know, $50, $80.
Yeah.
But when you're ready to get like another microphone, when you get that itch, because that's usually, it's not the microphone that dies. It's love of that microphone to be your daily driver.
Yeah.
Or, you know, sometimes you just don't like the way your voice sounds in it. I know Todd was talking about that on the new media show. He was talking about the other day about how he had, I think it was the Shure SM7Bs that we're using.
Yep.
He just didn't like the way his voice sounded. So he ended up going with a totally way more expensive microphone from Blue. But he likes the way that it makes his voice sound. So, you know, when you're getting started, it's great to spend, you know, $50 or whatever and get off the ground. And then once you can prove it to yourself that it's something that you definitely want to keep doing, I think this is a wonderful next step up because you could get that microphone or you could, you know, if you had the ATR2100 microphone, it does have the XLR port, which is one of the reasons I absolutely love it because of the flexibility in different situations. And what you know, what it enables you to do is plug it right in, and you actually get a different sound out of it. From what I've been told, I haven't personally heard that myself, but you get a different sound if you plug it XLR into like something like a soundboard or directly into an audio card. I love that it works with iOS. I think being able to plug it directly into iPad or probably even some other kind of like a Android tablet, though it doesn't say
say anything about Android, but this is first go at it, so.
Yeah, I still think that this is a great opportunity for you to step up your game and for it to be simple.
Yes.
You know, I wish there was a couple more buttons as far as like being able to record like sound effects.
Well,
they said
that there are they feature three different sound effects that you can have.
Oh, I thought it was. Along with a built-in voice effect feature. I mean, if that's something that you feel that you would use, it also multiple headphone jacks is nice. Mm-hmm. For, you know, so if you're on the go with your laptop, this box and two microphones, you could both have headphones in if you're like live in a really noisy setup.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess it just has sound effects. So I guess you can't actually record your own sound effects. So even then, I still kind of wish they would at least have done like a sound bank, like different sound banks. So like you'd have like a switch, like 1 through 4. So at least then you'd have 12, you could do 12 sound effects, something like that. Like that's something that they could easily put in that at least you'd understand like which one is your you know, which bank you're selecting without having to put in like, okay, here's 20 buttons.
Yeah.
Like that's great for somebody who's going to use it right out of the box every single day, but not for the person that they're targeting.
Wants to customize it.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, even just having like say the 3 buttons with 4 banks and having the last bank be like, hey, it'll record whatever you say into the microphones.
Yeah.
That would be cool too. But that's again, that's something that could come later. I think what they got so far is really solid. And for $180 or less, $130 for the single mic, I can't say I'd recommend the single mic at $130 just because, you know, if you're just doing the single mic thing, stick with what you got, the ATR-2100 or the Blue. But if you're ready to add somebody else, I think this is a great addition. Or if you're just getting started and it's 2 people co-hosting that are in the same location, this is, to me, a really great option instead of getting, you know, 2 microphones.
That's kind of what I'm thinking. Because especially USB. If you split this, then for hopefully the quality that it provides, then this is a deal for sure.
Yeah, 24-bit, 96 kilohertz. I mean, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Works with various software solutions. So I assume you could record right into like Audacity or Adobe Audition.
Well,
I and by the way, it's got to be Tascam because otherwise it'd be Tuscan. It's Tuscan.
That's like, not what you want to call your company.
No, definitely not. It's got to be Tascam. It's got to be.
Yeah. For anyone out there looking to possibly upgrade their studio or they just want to make a change, look at this option because it seems pretty cool to me.
Oh, it looks like, okay, you can actually apply your own WAV or MP3 files to the buttons.
Oh, that's cool. So like,
yeah, so you had to go to like their website to find that out, but yeah.
So if you like want to have your intro music or your outro music, you can just, you know, hit that button and then easily go into it instead of make a fade work for yourself when you're editing or whatever.
Yes, well, that's what I do though.
Yeah.
I would like to do that. It's not bad.
Yeah. I used to do that when I worked in radio. I would like go do that automatically with buttons. There are no buttons in podcasting. Not really.
No, not unless you do something custom.
Seems like a cool option and reasonably affordable if this is the route that you want to go. So people out there, go for it. I think it'd be cool to try out. As much as I sometimes get annoyed with technology, it's always fun for me to try out. Do enjoy that.
You know, I've been using computers for most of my life, since I was very, very little. And a lot of times I hate computers more than I love them because it works for me. But when you put it in the hands of somebody else, they're like, it doesn't work the way it's supposed to. And I'm like, of course it doesn't. Because why would it do what it's supposed to do?
It's
tough.
I know. I am that person for my family. And you know what? That's what happens sometimes.
Yeah, so. They never do what they're designed to do when they're supposed to do it.
No.
So, yeah. Just like Google. It was supposed to tell me what the net worth of CBS
was.
It gave me an article about Donald Trump.
No. That's the last thing I want to read right now.
Right now, yeah. Specifically at that time. That's very, very much true.
Yeah. So, okay. We've talked about the Auphonic speech recognition, the upcoming event in the Philly area called Podcast Mid-Atlantic, and the Tascam soundboards for podcasters. So, that is what's going on at the end of August. And your event is September 9th and 10th. So that's coming up.
It is. It's going to be. I was actually getting ready, stuff ready right before we got on the phone
yeah.
together, putting a pile, starting to put a pile of stuff together over in the corner of my office. So,
well, you seem ready then. That's good. I'm glad you're making these piles now than, you know, not September
8th. Yeah. Yeah, I know. Well, because there's going to be lots of things going on. And, you know, the last thing you want to do is be trying to worry about, like, oh, did I bring enough cables? I mean, fortunately for me, the place is only 8 miles from my house. So if I forgot a cable or something, you know, went really, really wrong, I can come home.
It's not the end of the world.
You know, and within 20 minutes, I could be back. You know, granted, I could find the right cable placement or something. I have tons of webs of cables.
Yeah. That is what everywhere. Our office has too. So I get it. That is all for this episode of the PowerPress podcast. And we're very excited about this event and hope that you guys can attend. And thanks for listening. Please go ahead and subscribe. And we'll be back with you the next episode. And thanks so much, Joe Pardo, for coming on this episode.
Thank you for having me. It was a lot of fun. And I still can't believe it was a year ago that I was on your show. I think it was like number 5 or 8 or yeah. something like that.
I'm gonna look it up because you were definitely pretty early.
Yes. So. And I greatly appreciated it then. I appreciate it now, and I look forward to coming again and, mm-hmm. and I look forward to having you come out to South Jersey for next year.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm excited. All right.
It'd be awesome.
All right. Thanks, guys, for listening, and I'll be back soon.